This is Making Shift Happen, and I'm your host, Jen Cates. Over the years, I've coached hundreds of clients to find their ideal self through the way they nourish their bodies and minds, and now I'm here to help pass on these same strategies to you. So let's stop the madness and get your results once and for all. Let's go.
Hello, friends. Welcome. Oh, no, me and I. Oh, no. We have our giggles already.
We do.
We're keeping
2 seconds
in. No, we're keeping this in. I love it. Welcome to yet another episode of Making Shift Happen. I am so excited about today. Because today I have Mia DiPella on, and she is with Women's Mountain Bike Network. If you don't know about the Women's Mountain Bike Network, don't worry. You're going to learn about it today, mixed in with some giggles, of course, because we were just laughing before we hit record. I thought I had gotten it out of my system, but we obviously didn't. But I'm so excited for you all to learn about Mia and the Women's Mountain Biking Network, because this is going to be something that is such a benefit to our community. So Mia, thanks for joining me today. Welcome.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you.
I'm so honored to be here.
Hey, I'm honored that you're here, and I'm honored that you said yes. And you agreed to do this like literally right after you got off the plane, a day or two ago? Maybe it's been 2 days ago from your wonderful celebratory trip to Italy.
Yeah, just got back from Italy Friday. Thursday? What day is it? I don't know.
What day is it? It's Monday. It's tax day. Come on. We're just talking about tax day.
Yes. Just got back from a 2-week celebratory 10-year wedding anniversary celebration in Italy.
I love it.
With my wife. So yeah, it was amazing.
Congrats again and happy anniversary again. And your stories looked amazing. I was always so jealous, but I always felt like I was there with you all. Like in a weird, non-creepy way, of course, non-creepy way, because you do such a great job of like sharing stories and sharing your day-to-day. And I love that. I absolutely love it.
Aw,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, of
I'm
course.
Glad.
Yes. No, I'm glad too. Well, I'm even more glad to have you on here. And I want folks to learn a little bit more about you. So tell us, you know, what's the story of Mia? What's your little elevator spiel?
My elevator spiel. I will make this quick. Let's see. I am Brazilian born. I am Australian raised, and I now live in the U.S. That's usually my 10-second spiel.
Welcome.
I was born in Brazil. My parents immigrated to Australia when I was 9, so I was pretty much raised in Australia. And then I moved here. I followed a person here. Thankfully, that relationship did not work out. And went back to college, which was a good thing. Was able to go back to college, met my now spouse, my now wife, and was fortunate to be able to stay once gay marriage was legalized and she was able to sponsor me to stay in the U.S. So yeah. I've been here for 17 years. So, nice. Man, I feel so old saying
right?
that.
Get the walker out.
So old saying that. Jeez.
Get the walker out. Have you been in California the whole time? Because you're in California now.
Yeah.
And you've been in California?
Yeah, California the whole time.
Okay, cool. And what part of California are you in again?
I'm in Southern California in Ventura County.
Okay.
I'm in between Santa Barbara and Los Angeles off the coast.
Oh, that's pretty. That is a very pretty part.
Visit.
You know, especially now that I know that you live there, I'm just going to have to come and maybe take the van or something.
You know, and we have a spare room. You, Milo, and Aaron are welcome to stay.
Oh, man. I mean, I'll just leave them here. That's fine. I'll just come out. We can just ride bikes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You're totally welcome. They're totally welcome. So speaking of bikes, because obviously you're in a great mecca of mountain biking and things like that. How did you get into mountain biking? Did you get into mountain biking like when you were here in the States or when and where did you get into it?
Yeah, so I got into mountain biking here. I've always been an athlete my whole life. I grew up playing soccer. That was my main sport. You're
love
a soccer player.
Oh,
and
I'm such a huge soccer fan.
I had gnarly injuries. I was a striker, so I always had ankle injuries and pretty much tore my entire right foot, all the tendons with the exception of my Achilles when I was like 21. So then I've always liked extreme sports. So I got into rock climbing when I moved here. Rock climbing was my jam. And I suffered an injury where I fell 15 feet on my back when I was bouldering. Oh. And that pretty much almost like, as you can imagine, didn't break my back, thankfully. I was at a gym. But went to the doctor and he was like, you know, you can't really do stuff like that anymore. I would suggest a non-impact sport like swimming or mountain biking, mm-hmm. or riding a bike or something. And I wasn't a huge fan of road cycling because it just scares me. Mm-hmm. It really scares me to go road cycling. And so, yeah, about 8-9 years ago, my wife and I rented out some bikes from our local bike shop and we really enjoyed it. We started on some hardtails. And then about 6 months later, I sat on a full squish bike and I was like, oh, yeah, there's no way I'm doing hardtails anymore. Mm-hmm. And then did the cross country thing, wasn't really enjoying it. And it wasn't until 2020 COVID, right? That's when everyone mm-hmm. kind of really fell in love with mountain biking. I lost my dog and we decided to go to Sedona for a week. We always go to Sedona and we go there about 3 or 4 times a year. And we decided to go, and it was the first time we could go mountain biking because we could never really leave Dexter alone because he was a little separation anxiety. We didn't want him to tear things up. So we went, and it was like a liberating experience for me. I fell in love with mountain biking again. I loved the tech. I'd never really ridden tech, enduro tech style riding. And then I was like, yeah, I need a better bike. Mm-hmm. to do this sport in Sedona because I didn't know a lot about it. Honestly, I knew the bike I had was good. It wasn't the best, but it was like a 100 mil travel mm-hmm. bike.
Oh yeah.
And for Sedona, you need something a little bit more.
Yeah, a little more robust. So,
and that's honestly how the network started, how my idea for the network started, stemmed from all of that.
Nice.
So yeah.
Man, 100 mils in Sedona. That's like, put the shred in Sedona right there because you're going to be shredding your body. You know, that's pretty aggressive. That's pretty impressive. I love it.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
What kept you in mountain biking? Like, what do you love about mountain biking?
Oh, man, so much.
Right?
Different elements of it. There's so many different elements of mountain biking. At first, I really enjoyed the accomplishment of being able to do something on a bike that's difficult,
yeah,
and knowing that I could do it and overcoming it. I love the rush of going fast mm-hmm. on a downhill section, mm-hmm. whether it's a techie section or a flow. I love the community. I love that people can elevate you and keep you in it and help you overcome something if you're not quite feeling it, right? Like, I love the cheerleaders. I love, like, at Rome Fest, when I experienced Rome Fest for the first time, I wanted to have these women around me all the time because they are like the biggest cheerleaders of your life. Mm-hmm. Whether you're just doing something that you think is really extreme, but it could be simple, it doesn't matter. Like, they're like, yeah, girl, let's go. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like the community keeps me engaged. And it's an escape. I think a lot of us feel that way. It's a little bit of an escape. You know, you're one with nature. It's just you and your bike. You're focusing on something that allows you to block out whatever crappy thing is happening in your life.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're riding something technical or if you're just doing something, you're trying to improve your skill or whatever it is, you're like mindlessly wandering or you're focused on that thing you're trying to overcome.
Yeah.
And I love that so much.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. And I'm a big bike nerd. Honestly, I've turned into like the biggest bike nerd on the planet. I start talking to people about bikes and when I can talk to someone else that's like a technical person too and enjoys talking about the nitty gritty geometry stuff,
yeah,
I just can go on for days. So there's
that too. I love it. And how do you keep up to date on all the tech? Like, do you follow like Pink Bike or I don't know, like, what do you have any tendencies to follow certain sites?
I do. And mainly also because that's what I'm trying to do with the Women's MTB Network. I'm trying to do that. Not so much what Pink Bike or Drew over at Lone Wolf are doing because my audience is different, mm-hmm. but, I do. And I have a lot of friends in the industry and I'm fortunate to be able to call on people if I need to know something or like pick their brain on something else or have talks about how bikes are evolving to a point where smaller riders are being weaned out because reach is getting longer and head tube angles are getting steeper. And there's all nitty gritty stuff that, you know, I like to talk about.
Yeah. No, I love it. And thank goodness for like Pivot or certain companies like that. I don't own a Pivot, but you know, Pivot's going to be, I think, kind of an anomaly when it comes to certain bike angles and geometry, just because I've learned recently, because I recently purchased a bike and, you know, I'm like 5'2". So we actually haven't met in person, believe it or not, which is so weird, but like I'm 5'2". My Sandover is not tall. Right. But I come to learn like, yeah, Pivot, the owner is a very tall gentleman. He's like over 6'4", maybe 6'2". Like he's incredibly tall, but his wife is like 5 feet. So he purposely, he's like very explicit or very intentional with the sizing of Pivot, you know? Yeah. So hopefully Pivot will be the one that we won't be grown out of on these bikes.
I hope not.
Yeah, I know.
I need to get a hold of someone at Pivot too, because I have heard that a lot for smaller riders. Yeah. They still have 27 and a half bikes.
Yeah.
Like,
I
don't think anyone except for
Yeti.
Liv has that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. People are going to correct me in the comments.
But no, that's fine.
There are a lot of companies that have started to wean that out.
And, and they're trying to, I think there are companies, because I will say, like, I will give props to Yeti. Yeti Standover is actually really great. Like, I've even been on a medium, like, 160. And this was just, like, this was 4 years ago. And I was like, oh, wow, I could actually get away with riding this. You know, I could get away with riding mediums on Yeti's bikes. Would it be extremely comfortable for me? Probably not, you know. But it's kind of funny how they are twiddling with the geometry so much and stuff like that. Well, I love it. I love it. So the community, it sounds like, the community, you had a really good experience at RoamFest, which, oh my gosh, for any listener who has not experienced RoamFest, I can't emphasize how phenomenal it is. They do such a great job, you know, and of course I'm biased because I've been volunteering there for the past couple of years, at least the one in Fruta. But they're just a phenomenal group of humans. Wait, because they're not doing Sedona this year, are you going to come to Fruta this year? God damn it. Okay, never mind.
Yes.
I got excited.
No, I am going to come to Fruta.
Okay.
I thought you were, sorry, I was shaking my head for Sedona. But no, myself and Candace will be there for Fruta.
Nuh-uh. I get to finally meet you and are you a hugger?
Yeah, always.
Okay, good. Yeah, same. I'm a huge hugger. Okay, well, great. We'll coordinate things after this. And maybe do some rides, because I want to do like a Shred Strong ride. Maybe we could do like a women's MTB, you know, network and Shred Strong or whatever ride or something community ride. I would love to do it. Yeah, I would love to do it. Obviously you're attracted to the community and just how supportive the community is and how much we uplift one another, which I love. And I love what you're doing at Women's Mountain Bike Network. So like, you know, talk to us a little bit more about that, because I know you're trying to do your own thing, like you mentioned earlier, like, hey, the tech stuff that you love and you love to nerd out on, you want to do that for the network. So what does that kind of look like? Because I know I've loved a lot of the posts you've made lately and a lot of the gear review and stuff, but let's back up for those of you who don't know about Women's Mountain Bike Network. You know, give us kind of that little spiel of like what the network does, because I know you were inspired to do it in Sedona. And like, like what sparked you? Because I remember when the spark happened.
You were one of the first people I talked to about this. It was the lack of resources for women. Yeah. So I was trying to find a bike where I was willing to spend $5,000 on a new mountain bike. And, you know, for me, if I'm upgrading from a $1,500 bike to a $5,000 bike, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Some people in the industry are like, oh, that's a really good deal if you spend $5,000. Still, it's $5,000.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Couldn't find anything for a small rider, a review from a woman, especially for a small bike.
Yeah.
And I got really frustrated with that. And I'm like, why? Why doesn't that exist? And at the time when I had this idea, I was halfway through law school and I couldn't dedicate my time to do it. And then
why couldn't you find time? I'm so confused. Why couldn't you find time in law school? I'm just kidding.
You know, I was working full time and I was going to law school.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I remember. You were busy.
So finally, I was able to just create a website. The website is all me. I do everything on there. And the idea is so huge. And recently, I finally have being able to get some good crew members to help us out, because it's all volunteer work. But basically what I'm developing is a website media news outlet that provides mountain bike resources for women by women and those folks who identify as. I want it to be like a one-stop shop for people who are looking for info on bikes, gear, community. Like, we have a page on there that has coaches from all around the world. We have groups from all around the world, and it's a free service. So if anyone's listening and you want to be listed on the website for your group or your, you know, if you're a coach, like, email me and we'll put you up on the website. I started recently, bike brands have been sending us bikes to do reviews on, which I think are great. And one of the things we're developing is an e-bike series. I dropped a review on the Santa Cruz Heckler and I rode the small Heckler. You know, a lot of women are intimidated to ride e-bikes, especially shorter riders, because they don't know, they feel like the bike's going to be too heavy or, you know, there's going to be issues there. So I really wanted to start developing that. So the Heckler review is out. This Levo SL review will come out in about 2.5 weeks. And then we have the Transition Relay review that's going to come out. But then we have the gear reviews. Like, Alexis is doing such an amazing job. Yes. Like, the 30 to minute long, if you guys haven't seen it,
yeah,
like,
Alexis so great.
Is so freaking cool. And she's so into the gear, really knowledgeable, like, knows her shit. Mm-hmm. And it was all her idea. Like, let's do like a segment on Gear Wednesday. So I was like, hell yeah, let's do it, dude. Let's get that going.
Yeah.
And those are going to start being put on the website too. Cause the goal is I want people to be able to reach it on the website as well. Mm-hmm.
Like, to where it's searchable too.
Yeah, to where it's searchable. And then one of the big things I've been developing for a few months now is a forum. I want to put a forum on the website because there are a lot of people that are on Facebook, but they don't use Facebook and they find it hard to navigate in certain groups. So if we have a forum, at least people can create their own subgroups if they want and they can manage it themselves. Kind of like a Reddit type of thing, but for mountain biking. And it's not awesome. Exclusively for women, but I wanted to provide a space where women can come and talk and not feel like they're being mansplained. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what it is. It's a huge thing, but I work full time. I have like two other jobs and I'm trying to develop this. And I think we're gonna get there in the next couple of years. But for now, we just got to do the best we can with the resources we have, right? So,
You're doing
that's
a
what
great
we're trying
job.
To do. And we thank
yeah.
you.
You're doing such a great job. No, seriously, I love, because even like the website, you know, I'm always so impressed with that and just how easy it is to navigate and get to things and whatever. And I do love that you've brought on some people recently. So, yeah, can you maybe share a little bit about the people that are helping? Like, first of all, Alexis, sounds like she's doing some gear reviews and things like that. What else?
Yeah, Alexis is great. And mind you, like, we all work full time. We have separate jobs. So I am extremely grateful for the time that they've devoted to this. So Alexis, she's also a coach on the side, but she does a lot of the social media stuff now. She's been helping a lot with the social media and especially the gear reviews and the posts and a lot of the editing and stuff. Like, Alexis has been doing that, which has been great. Candace, I call her like my right hand man. We always call her Shorty because she's like you. She's like 5 foot.
Yeah.
She's a firecracker, dude. She's from New Orleans. She's one of Jess Hanna's really good friends. That's how we met, was through Jess.
Yep.
And she's just on it.
Yeah.
And the passion that she has, and she keeps me on track, which I think is great. She'd be like, Mia, did you do this? Mia, did you do this?
Yeah. Hey, the dreamers always need someone to kind of follow them and make sure that like the implementers are done, you know, the implementation is done better.
Yeah. And she's so great. And she's such an amazing writer too. And having her perspective as a shorter writer is so important.
Yeah.
So she's going to get a bike to demo out pretty soon and do some reviews on that. So that's will come out from her perspective, which I think is important. And then Becca has now, she helps with all the news. She's really involved with the free ride movement. And she runs that other page, Girls Pull It, Pull Out. Not
I
out.
Was
sure
wondering if it was Becca, because there was just something. And I know like Becca had shared a few things and I was like, I just have a feeling it might be Becca, but I don't know Becca enough to like reach out and just be like, hey, are you girls pull up, not out? Or pull, wait, is it pull up, not out? Is that what it is, right?
Yeah.
Pull up.
Which, yeah, I think so.
I love that handle. No, I love it. Okay, thanks for confirming that it was Becca.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Well, I love her freaking sense of humor.
Yeah, she has a really great sense of humor. It's her and her friend Carly. And they, yeah, they are really freaking hilarious, and they have no filter, and I think it's absolutely great. We did do a thing with them a while ago, like a little live thing with her and Carly, I think a year ago or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're great. Dang, Becca's great.
I must have missed it. Now I'm going to have to look back in the archives and just be like,
I actually think that if you go on their Instagram page, oh, yeah, I think she still has it like pinned.
Yeah.
You know how people can like pin posts on your Instagram page?
Yeah. 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 So they have it pinned.
Oh yeah. No.
Okay.
I don't think they do anymore. They used to.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay.
I can always just send it to you as well.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm totally going to find this. This is my task for the week when I have some like, just, I need some laughs after, you know, taxes and stuff. I'm going to go and check it out. No, I love that. I love that page. And I love, so Becca was the one that was kind of helping you from the beginning a little bit more, right?
Yeah. Becca has been helping me from the beginning.
Okay, cool.
But also she works full time. Yeah. She's a mother of two kids. She's,
oh, I didn't realize she was a mom. That makes me love her sense of humor even more.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I freaking love it. I love spicy folks. Spicy folks with good sense of humor make my day.
Yeah, well, they're both really great.
Yeah. And I mean, I love what you're doing with Women's Mountain Bike Network by just having, kind of giving us a little bit more of a voice, you know, giving us a place to go to that isn't necessarily centered around any type of, like, you know, maybe more of a male lens, male perspective type of thing, you know, where we can actually go and we can explore things that will fit our bodies, you know, a little bit differently, yeah, and fit our bodies a little bit better, whether it's bike or clothing or any type of gear, you know, shorter hands, smaller hands, things like that. I know I have small mm-hmm. hand syndrome. So it's important for us to have that community. And I love what you've done to build it. And I can't wait to see, like, I love it already right now. So I can't wait to see what it's going to be like, you know, even 2 to 5 years from now, which is just mind blowing to me. Now that being said, so how do you get inspired for the content that you create? Like, do you reach out to people to sponsor? Like, do you reach out to the bike companies or do they actually start coming to you? Or how does that work when it comes to like bike demos and clothing demos? Like what happens? How's this work?
Initially, I was just doing everything that I had in my garage or clothing that I had purchased. And then over the last probably 8 months or so, I just started reaching out to brands and just telling them what I was trying to do. And a few brands have been really great. Like Revel Bikes have always got my back with everything mm-hmm. that I've done from inception. Like mm-hmm. The crew at Revel is absolutely amazing. Shout out to Addie, who is their marketing person. She keeps that place running. they sent us a bike. They were the first ones to send us a bike to do a review on, which I thought was awesome. And then Specialized stepped mm-hmm. in. They're like, love what you're doing. Let's get you a bike. Santa Cruz, Juliana folks, mm-hmm. same thing. So I think they're seeing that the need is there and they're willing to do that. And, you know, I am so new. This is kind of a new thing that I'm just appreciative that they're sending us something and trusting us with expensive equipment to review, mm-hmm. Which is a big thing. I've had the amazing folks over at Wild Rye sent us stuff. Same thing for Shredly. Mm-hmm. And those are the brands that I really want to also be able to support because they started from grassroots. They are women owned. They mm-hmm. understand the struggle. They understand the importance of representing women and women of all sizes to, you know, I got to say just kind of quick tangent. When I was at the Sedona Mountain Bike Fest like a month ago, I, like you, have very small hands and I've never been able to find gloves that fit well. Like I've gone for hand up because they're extra smalls fit me,
yeah.
but it's hard to get them on.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know. I have like chunky palm on my hand.
Yeah.
I got Ashley from Shredly gave me a pair of hers.
Yeah.
And it literally fits like a glove.
Oh my God. I like, love it.
I will never again. I don't know if I could find another pair of gloves that will fit me as well as the Shredly.
That's good to know. Damn, that's a good testament there. Because I wear hand up and I wear, get this, the extra, extra small gloves.
Oh, goodness.
Jen. I got you beat me in terms of like size. Size doesn't always matter, friends.
No, it does not.
But that's good to know because sometimes, you know, I have friends who do have small hands, but then they're just kind of like the palm is a little bit thicker. So is that what you're saying? Yes. Like the Shredly gloves really help fit that? Yes. Oh, good to know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're great. Here. I really like them. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
I will do a review on them, but if any women with small hands are listening,
yes.
try out the Shredly. This is a non-sponsored thing, folks.
Hashtag not an ad.
Hashtag not an ad.
Not an ad. Although Shredly, if you do want to pay for this as an ad, no, I'm just kidding. No, that's awesome. And I do love that that's kind of the feeling with the Women's Mountain Bike Network is it's like, it feels grassroots. Like it feels like, hey, this is real. We're not being biased in any direction. Like, sure, we have the support from these bike companies, but hey, I'm willing to do these bike reviews for other bikes and all the bikes, you know, that we're able to get our hands on, our small hands on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just kind of figure out and make it work. And that's what I love about it because I feel like we need this more often. No, I will go ahead and say, Mia, if I may interject, there was this event and man, I wish I could remember what year it happened for me. It must have been 2018 or 19, I believe. And it was like something along the lines of like the Women's Congress, you know, Women's Mountain Biking Congress or something like that. And it was actually held here in the Denver metro area. So I believe in like Louisville at the Perlazumi old, you know, RIP. The old Perlazumi headquarters here, you know, because of course they have a location out in California. They had their other one here, which has since closed down. But it was such a great location. We had individuals from the area, and I think some folks did fly in actually from over, you know, across the country. But it was organized by Ellery Slater, who I don't know if you know her at all, but yeah, she's obviously a well-known name in the industry. And Ellery and I actually have talked about doing this again. You know, just because we're like, hey, there might be a need for it. I feel like we need to kind of keep this voice going. But let me tell you that Women's Congress was great a few years ago, because I think that's when we started to get like a little bit of momentum behind this whole idea of like, hey, women mountain bikers, like female mountain bikers and folks who identify with that group, we need to have a little bit more of a concerted voice, you know, where we can have these ideas that are going then to the manufacturers, you know, and giving them feedback on things. And back then, that's when we were really talking heavily about size inclusivity, you know, group ride inclusivity. And, you know, the conversation really started to kind of take place. So I love that. And looking back on that, you know, and I would love to reenact that to some degree or some capacity. I'm not sure how, but, you know, maybe we can figure it out. But thinking about that type of concept and why you started Women's Mountain Bike Network, you know, what are some things that you see in our mountain biking community that may need to be changed to address, you know, getting more women in our sport that we love so much? You know, what is it? Oof. What do you think? I know this is a loaded question. We even talked about it before this, like, ooh, this could be loaded.
Yeah.
But like, what are some initial things come to mind?
I really think that brands need to be a little bit more cognizant of the female consumer in mind.
Yeah.
And it always goes back to Cassie from Wild Ride once shared statistics with me about how in the cycling industry as a whole, only 4% of women are involved at a higher decision-making level, whereas women make up close to 50% of consumers in the cycling industry. Mm-hmm. So just speaking of that, there's a huge gap, right? And I don't think it's necessarily that brands don't want to be in touch with a female consumer. I just think it's just not in their purview when it should be.
Yeah.
So back in January, we got the opportunity to go to the Santa Cruz factory and ride with the crew. Mm-hmm. And I got to chat with their new CEO, not knowing he was their new CEO.
Amazing.
We were literally there like the last day where the old, there was like a changeover of things, and we went for a ride, and I was chatting with this guy and I was telling him what I do with the network. And he seemed really engaging and wanting to know questions about women in the sport and what I found are things that need to change or, you know, that work for women and stuff. And I was just chatting with him. Like, I'm very opinionated, if you haven't known by now.
Hey, that's why I like you.
And so he asked me about the bike because I was on the Heckler. I still had their Heckler. And yeah. I said, I absolutely love this bike, but it's not, there are some things that really are not really friendly for women. And he was like, he was all curious, like, oh, what, why is that? And I said, well, first of all, the saddle is really shit. And he just looked at me and he's like, what's not good about the saddle? And I said, well, it's not for a woman's frame.
Yeah.
It's not, you know. So I started going off about saddles. And he was like really engaging and listening to me. And I said, you know, maybe bike companies need to allow the rider to pick, give us like three options of width.
Yes.
When you buy a bike, because bikes don't come with pedals, personal preference.
Yeah.
You change the grips, you change your saddle, you add it, you know, so it's when you buy something,
touch points.
Allow the person in your trim. Mm-hmm. Take the woman into consideration and think, oh, this is going for a female that needs wider sit bones. Mm-hmm. Great. And that's not always the case with women, though. Like, my wife doesn't like the super wide ones. She's happy with the narrow ones. So it is personal preference, but that's a rare case when mm-hmm. it comes to women and wider sit bones. I think I digress from your question. There is a lot. No. So I guess brands.
No, you didn't digress at all. That was a perfect story to go along with this.
Yeah. I mean, and also, in general, being more friendly to women's bodies when it comes to gear, mm-hmm. like pads, knee pads.
Oh my God, don't get me started on knee pads. The knee pads that like cinch your fucking thighs, like they're little sausages. Yeah. And I'm like, God, you know, like, I'm heavier there and I squat, but you don't need to show it through the pads, crying out loud. God, it drives me bonkers. Anyways, what was your idea? Because I'm obviously opinionated about this too.
Oh, that's awesome. No, it's just thinking about different consumers in that aspect.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a huge supporter. His name's Steve. He lives in Colorado, actually.
Oh, nice.
Amazing dude. And every time I say something self-deprecating about my thighs, and I mean, I'm half joking because I've been a soccer player my whole life. Yeah, I have big thighs.
Like,
I
we're get used it. To it. Yeah, we're used to our thighs.
And he's like, well, hey, I'm chunky too. And I have a hard time finding pads. And I'm like, you're right. You know, it's size inclusivity. It's sometimes it's not just gender. It's someone's race. It's someone's mm-hmm. weight. It's however the person is mm-hmm. in their best form. Brands don't identify. They don't try to, in my opinion, look outside the box and realize that it's not just a very skinny, lanky, tall person that rides bikes.
Yeah, exactly. We're not all weight weenies, you know?
No,
there's nothing wrong with being a weight weenie, but you know what I mean? Like, we don't, like, I certainly don't identify that with that. Like, I strength train. And so I just, like, for me, it's my lats. Like, my lats and my biceps tend to be bigger. But then if I get the right size to fit those parts of my body, then everything else makes me look like a box. And then I just look, well, this is probably inappropriate to say, but I just look even more gay, you know, like it just doesn't, it doesn't look right. It just doesn't like fit me, you know, cause I just look like a big box and a t-shirt, you know, and it just doesn't feel right. And then that doesn't feel right when you're riding. And man, when you're not feeling right when you're riding, it makes a big difference. And on the point, on the point of the knee pads, you know, like bike companies, if you're listening, brands out there, if you happen to be listening, when it comes to pads and things like that, like literally for me, I get the right size, but you know, they fit. If I were to get anything bigger, it would be, they're too loose in my calf and too loose in my knees. And mm-hmm. then I'm not protecting my knees, mm-hmm. but then they're still cinching the thigh. So I have to get the one that's just right. Like, you know, the porridge, with, you know, Goldilocks and Three Bears. Right. But I kid you not, though, even if I'm getting the right size and I do my first climb and it's a fresh pair of knee pads and they haven't been broken in yet, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
my first climb, I feel like I'm doing like blood flow restriction. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever had blood flow restriction done. It's like a physical therapy tool to help kind of, you know, get a little bit more blood flow to the area. But I feel like I'm like blood flow restricting my thighs, which are not what you want to be doing BFR on while you're climbing. It's just not pleasant at all. Cause then you just feel like you can't like use your legs as effectively. So,
but wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you climbing? You're wearing your knee pads when you're climbing?
Yeah, just because I like to do a fast descent. Like, I don't like to stop and move my pads because then I'm sweaty.
Fair.
And then I'm like, oh my God, this is like literally trying to put on a sausage casing, you know, on some legs. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep them on and I'm just going to climb and this is going to suck. And then also here in Colorado, so we have undulating trails a lot. Like, we do have trails with long climbs initially. Sure. You know, so for those trails, I might actually keep them down, but a lot of our trails are like, okay, uphill. Oh, then you have a downhill over a techie section. So I would literally have to be taking my knee pads like up and down constantly. So it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But I'll step off my soapbox, but just to get you an idea, like, hey, this is needed. Like, there's such a need for the Women's Mountain Bike Network. I can't even put it into words. Oh my God.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, just, I it is a loaded question, the one you just asked about some of the things that we see that maybe needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. One of the big things that is a theme right now is the whole issue with the free ride. And it just really irks me because there are a lot of people that don't understand an evolution of a sport and how people get better at a sport. So especially with Crankworx, the first time the women competed in Crankworx a few weeks ago, which was amazing. I could not look at the comments on social media because I just wanted to smash every single person who had nothing but negative things to say. And, you know, I have Alexis works at a bike shop here in Southern California. And she's one of, I think, two women that work at the shop and experiences sexism on a daily basis. And when that was happening, I guess people were saying really horrible things about the women that were riding. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, dude, can I go in there right now and just like smash this person? But I guess what I'm trying to get at is you have to be supportive of it. And just because you're not seeing the women do some type of trick that some guy has had years to develop and practice doesn't mean that it's not hard, difficult, or groundbreaking. And I hate that. I just, you know, I try to be calm and want to educate folks more than anything, but it gets to a point where you just get exhausted trying to fight for your own rights. It's tiring because people don't seem to understand that women aren't trying to take away from the men. This isn't pie. Everyone gets the pie. Place. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I don't understand. Why is it so difficult to support women up and coming? And to that example, one last story I'll share with you is I was at the Sydney Olympics in 2000. I was the translator for the Brazilian women's soccer team. And I was there and I saw 15 people in the stands watching the US-Brazil game. 15, 1-5. 20 years later, the World Cup was just in Australia this last summer. 85,000 people in this. Like, I was crying. My brother took my three nieces to the games and he's sending me all this stuff. And I was just like, holy shit. The way that if you build it, they will come.
100%.
If you invest in women's sports, it's going to happen. We see it in basketball right now.
Oh my God.
It's the same thing in mountain biking. It's the exact same thing in mountain biking.
Yeah.
5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. Like, I'm just getting goosebumps. Just thinking
I'm getting
about
goosebumps
how,
listening.
Where women are going to be. In this, you know, like, I think we need to do this for the generations to come, for the women that the girls that are 15, 10 years old listening, thinking someone's telling them they can't do it. No, fuck that. Yeah, they can do it. Who gives a shit? I want to see the dudes criticizing the women get off and do some of the shit that the women are doing. Go on.
100%. 100%.
And anyway, this is the thing. I will get off my soapbox now.
Get on the soapbox, because this has been a conversation, an ongoing conversation in our household here, because we've been so amped. And Erin's even been watching the basketball games because she's just so amped. And like, you know, and I'm excited to see that because, of course, I do enjoy watching basketball. I also really enjoy watching soccer. And Casey Current, they have their own women's stadium. I don't know if you know about this or not. Yeah. In Kansas City?
Yeah, no, we do.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I've seen them play. I go to the LA Angels games all the time. Lauren and I try to get season tickets.
Oh, say hi to Sophia Bush if you happen to see her for me. That'd be great. don't tell my wife, though. But no, I'm just kidding. No, it's, yeah, like, I just love the energy that's behind women's sports right now. And like the t-shirts that say everybody watches women's sports.
Because I just bought one yesterday.
I'm going to buy one too. It's on my list. It's on my list of things to do. But yeah, no, I am here for it. I'm here for the energy. I'm here for the resurgence. I'm here for us to feel like we're reclaiming what is ours, you know? And I say reclaiming because it's always been ours. It's just, we haven't been gifted that. We haven't been gifted the opportunity, unfortunately. We haven't been given the opportunity to have the space, you know? And now I feel like we're just starting to stand on our own, you know? And I feel like, you know, ladies, if you're listening and folks who identify with this group, if you feel strongly about this, please support watching women's sports in any capacity that you can, if it interests you, you know, because that's what helps. That's what helps get this momentum going. Because athletes, unfortunately, they have to kind of play catch up right now, you know, like with Crankworx athletes and things like that, because we haven't been given really the same opportunities with access to training facilities and things like that, and training and access to sponsorships, you know, don't even get me started on that too.
Two seasons ago, we saw that basketball player, Sedona, she was talking about the difference in weight rooms from the women's to the men.
Oh my God, yes, Sedona,
And the food from the women to the men. And then look at it today.
Yeah.
The most watched basketball game ever was the women's final. Like, what the fuck is happening to the world? This is amazing. Oh,
it's so great.
It's so amazing. Yeah. It's so amazing.
I'm here for it.
So another aspect about the Women's Mountain Bike Network. I know you talk about coaches and things like that are on there, you know, mountain biking coaches, training coaches, things like that. Don't you also have local groups linked on there too, right? Like local riding groups?
Yeah, so I have a page that has groups from Australia, the United States, a few in Europe, one in South Africa, and I'm looking to add as many as I can find. So if anyone is listening and they want it added to our website, you don't have to be registered or official. If it's just you and five women that get together and ride, and there, because there's no one else in your area, like, let me know, because there might be other women in your area that are like, oh shit, I don't know anyone to ride with.
Yeah.
So I want it to be that hub too, that where people can be like, where can I find a spot where it lists all that information, and it's right there, and it'll tell you who to contact, where they meet, where they ride, you know. All that good stuff.
No, I'm totally here for it. This is fantastic. Because, I mean, we need those resources, and you're doing such a phenomenal job of making those resources accessible for everyone, you know, and just really, you're creating the wave. You're that rock that's been thrown in the lake, or the, let's just say the ocean, huge boulder that's been thrown in the ocean, and you're making it happen. You know, you're making shift happen, which is cool, which is what I like to see. So is there anything else that you kind of want to add about the Women's Mountain Biking Network and you know, anything that you kind of want to maybe envision, or I don't know, anything that you want to add that we haven't touched upon that you're like, hey, fam, check this out.
Well, one of the big things I'm striving for is to do reviews on things that aren't just from my perspective, because I am just one person.
Yeah.
So we're really trying to be cognizant of the little team that we have and have reviews from a taller, shorter rider. And, you know, so there's me, there's Alexis, there's Candace, there's Lauren. We range in sizes from a 0 to a 16 and everywhere in between. So when we do review of clothing, we're trying to cover a 0, a 2, an 8, a 10, a 12, and a 16. Mm-hmm. Then it gives that kind of inclusivity. But also, if anyone wants us to review something or you have a question, just, let us know, because I'm trying my best to find what women are looking for. And I try to go on websites and forums and Facebook groups and trying to put that together. But if anyone's looking for something in particular, like, just email me or DM us on Instagram. We're very active on Instagram, and we're happy to try and get that out for you. You know, like, this isn't just about me. It's us, it's women as a whole. And if I can fill in a gap for someone, then I'm going to. If this helps one person, it sounds really corny, but that literally is my goal. I cried the first time I got an email from someone that said, that was so helpful. Thank you so much. Because that's that one person. Yep. Like, that's that one person. Because it doesn't matter if you're a beginner or an expert or you're trying to level up a skill. Like, as long as you're having fun on the bike, that's all that matters. And if I can help that person be more comfortable on the bike, then that's what I want to do, whether it's connecting with a coach, whether it's connecting with you, because you're an amazing human being too. Yeah, you're a coach, you're a fitness machine, you're a nutritional machine.
Nutritional machine.
You are. Yeah, you've helped me so much.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's simple. No, I get it. You have to have that network. And sometimes it's just nice to know that, you know, hey, you vouch for them or someone else on your team vouches for this person. So it gives you a little bit more trust in getting that product or getting working with that person, working with that coach, whatever it is, right? And I feel like that can give you just the confidence to press send on that message to that coach or to get the conversation started or whatever it is for you, you know? One thing that I'm going to reach out to you about, and we can talk offline about this. So I don't know if you know or not, but me and a group of three other individuals, two of them being researchers, you know, PhDs, they're psychologists and things like that. We are actually doing we're disseminating information on how to be more inclusive at races and events. And we actually did research studies on this and gathered information from the community. And we're in the end stage right now of putting together everything and putting it together in like social media stuff. So yeah, I'm going to talk to you about that because I feel like that could be something that could be really beneficial to the community, especially 100%. For people. Well, especially for people who might come on your website who are looking to start doing events and races. Like, hey, maybe here's a guide that they could use. And of course, it's all, you know, free.
And if that's great because I have had people ask me about how to do that.
Yeah, and this is definitely something we're looking into, and we're trying to obviously. You know, we're figuring out how we're going to release it, but yeah, stay tuned once we figure it out over these next few weeks. And we're putting together the guides right now as we speak.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Just let me know how we can help, where we can put it on the website, how we can share it.
Of course. So Mia, I've got to ask the penultimate question for this interview today. How do you make shift happen in your life? So in other words, how do you make change happen?
Oh my goodness. That is another loaded question. I try and stay grounded and I focus on my goals. And I also remind myself why I'm doing what I'm doing, no matter what it is. Whether I'm trying to develop something for the network, whether I'm trying to get my health on track, whether I'm trying to plan a trip with my wife. I just always go back to like, what is my goal and what I'm trying to do with it? And then from there, I can recenter and reevaluate how to make that shift happen.
I love it. Yeah. Keep the goal, keep that in eyesight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also I'm going to add one more thing. I look to people that I can trust and get advice on to be able to guide me as well. Cause you can't do things by yourself as much as you want to. I think you can to an extent, but I always look for friends and family to help give me guidance to make that shift happen.
Heck yeah. Make that shift happen. Have a North Star, you know, that can help kind of guide you in the right direction or generally in the right direction. Then you can figure it out if you ever go off course. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because some people may know you better than you know yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I know that's the case with me and my wife. No. Sometimes she already sees what's happening before I come to her. And I'm like, struggling with it. She's like, I knew it.
No, I love it. I freaking love it. I can relate. I can totally relate. Well, sweet.
Yeah.
Mia, I can't tell you enough how grateful I am for you to take your time out in your day and join us. I want the people listening to be able to follow the Women's Mountain Bike Network. So what's the handle on Instagram and how can they find you? And don't worry, friends, I'm going to put that in the show notes, but tell us, give us the good news.
Well, our website is Women's MTB, like mountain bike, Women's MTB Network. And if you go on there, you're going to get a little pop-up that helps you subscribe. So every time we publish something, you're going to get a little notification, an email or whatever. We don't spam people, so don't be afraid of that. The social media links, the Instagram is the same thing, @Women's MTB Network. The same for Threads. And we decided to start a TikTok. TikTok is weird. I feel like I'm at the end of the millennial. I'm at the beginning of the millennial thing. Elder, so I don't know how it works really.
Get the walker out. Like I said earlier,
get the walker out. But yeah, we also have a link tree on our Instagram. So you can usually find a lot of the things that we're doing and that are decently new on there as well. But yeah, that's my spiel and I'm sticking to it.
I love it. And again, I'll put everything in the show notes. That way you all can just, you know, tippy tap on things. And you know what? I kind of have a wild hair under my butt. I'm going to do something that's random. I know. It's just going to be a fun game of this or that. Just a fun game of this or that. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So choose which one you want. Flowy trail or techie trail?
Tech.
All right. Full face helmet or half shell?
Oh God, that depends. Yeah, the lawyer in me is coming out. It depends on the terrain. Half shell.
Half shell most of the time, but you know, in extreme occurrences, full face. That is the right.
Yeah.
Tim Tams or Oreos.
Is there anything else? Tim Tams 1,000 times yes. over.
Yes, I love it. Hopefully you didn't mind that. I don't know why. I was like, oh my God, I need to do it this or that. If anyone can tolerate this, it's gonna be Mia.
I love it. No, bring it up. Come on, okay. Keep it going.
All right. I might have to I don't know if I can come up with another this or that. We had this conversation before. And why am I this is what happens when you're unprepared.
I'm gonna ask you one.
Yeah, do.
Chamois or no chamois?
Oh man, that's it. The non-lawyer in me is gonna come out and I'm just gonna say it depends. You know, if I'm going downhill most of it, I'm wearing my wool undies because those are so nice and cool and airy. But then if I'm climbing a little bit more, I'm going to wear a chamois. But let me be honest, there have been a couple times when I've done downhill and I have not worn a chamois and my bits have regretted that decision. If I happen to like just not do the right thing, like, or if I'm demoing a bike, if you're demoing a bike, definitely wear a chamois because you're just not used to the dimensions and stuff. What about you? Chamois or no? Yeah, and a saddle.
No chamois. I now have a saddle that can handle my butt, can handle, and I don't need a chamois.
Okay. What's your saddle, if you don't mind me asking?
I have a specialized, I have one as a mimic, and the other one is one of their 3D mimic things.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
I forget. They sent them to me to do a demo and they let me keep them. And I'm like, sweet, because I need a good saddle.
This is what I need. This is what my butt needs. I love it. Oh man. Okay. That's a good one. All right. Elbow pads or no?
No. Unless I'm doing like something very technical.
Yeah. No, same. They're just a little uncomfortable sometimes. Like I feel like, I don't know. And they're just hot. I run hot. I don't know about you. I run hot.
Yeah, I do. But it is also personal preference too. 100%. Like, don't listen to me, people. Just because I'm not wearing
No. And this is totally for personal preference. 100%. Like, hopefully my listeners knew that by now. Exactly. And, you know, chamois or no chamois, that was totally like Jen's thing in terms of my bits. And everyone's bits are different, you know? Like, you got to be respectful of that too. Like, we're anatomically so different. So you have to, you know, you just have to like respect what feels better for you. Combining with the saddle and stuff. Okay. I think that'll be a good wrap. That was a good wrap, you know, before we maybe start talking about, I don't know, weird and inappropriate things. Who knows? Mia, seriously, I can't thank you enough. I'm so glad you came on here. Thanks for the laughs too, after a weird day that I had.
Thank you.
Seriously, it was just so nice to see your face and then get a good giggle fest in the first like 10 seconds of our conversation here today.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me and giving us the opportunity to let people know about the network. I love that so much.
Heck yeah. And I am here for it. Friends, be sure to give Women's Mountain Bike Network a follow. Again, check the show notes for the links. And I will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.